Good morning, my dear brethren and sisters. Let's begin our meeting of worship and remembrance this morning with the singing of hymn number 24. Hymn number 24. Oh, how love I thy law! It is my study all the day. It makes me wiser than my foes and keeps me in thy way. Hymn 24. Let us now sing hymn number 52. Hymn number 52. Thou hidden love of God, whose height, whose depth unfathomed no man knows. I see from far thy beauteous light. Inly I sigh for thy repose. My heart is pained, nor can it be at rest till it find rest in thee. Hymn 52. We're now very pleased to invite Brother Jonathan Goodwin to give us the word of exhortation.
My dear brothers and sisters, that introduction is quite normal, isn't it, for a speaker from this platform, certainly on a Sunday morning and at many other of our meetings. And our theme for exhortation this morning is not going to go any further, really, than that greeting, because our theme for exhortation this morning is brothers and sisters. It's something that, a phrase that we use on a regular basis, without perhaps really delving into it. We know what brothers and sisters are normally, don't we? We have families, most of us anyway. Some of us actually get together with our families, try to do so more often than we really can, because families get spread. Except that's families, natural families, isn't it? And in our natural families, we don't call our brothers and sisters brother this or brother that. I've got two sisters, as you probably know, and I don't refer to Sister Helen and Sister Rosemary with the sister bit on the front of it. So therefore, the designation that we give ourselves when we meet together is a bit special. We might actually, in a relaxed atmosphere, I wouldn't actually go up to Brother Alan here and say, Brother Alan, would I? I'd probably call him Alan. But in this environment, in this place, and at the right time, I will call him Brother Alan, as he has called me Brother Jonathan or Brother Johnny. It's a special designation that we have because it's a special name that we have and a special calling. The original in the New Testament, as you probably all know, is Adelphos and Adelphi, and they're just male and female of the same word. It's linked to that other word, patria, which is family. But not just family, part of the family. The family of the father. Hence we get that word patriarchs. Yeah, the fathers of old. But those words, in their primary meaning, are talking about natural families. And we, in reality, are not a natural family. Some of us may be actually related by blood, but in reality, normally, we would have no connection except for the fact that we've been called to join this very special family. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons, through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven on earth together under one head, even Christ." And that word head there is linked to head of a family. This is an idea of all being joined together. And as we read that reference, did you notice how many times that God is praised for his grace, the riches of his grace, his wisdom and understanding? You know, sometimes as we look around our brethren and sisters whom we meet with, we do wonder why we've all been chosen. It's only natural that we should do so. Sometimes we look at our brothers and sisters and we think, yes, they're really something special. Sometimes our natural man looks at a brother or sister that perhaps we're having a bit of a disagreement with and I think, hang on, we're not the same. But in reality, it's not our wisdom, not our choice, it's God's. And that's something that we should always remember. Even about ourselves. It's quite normal to think that you're not worthy of the calling. It's quite good, actually, to think that, because it means you understand the natural man that you are and say, why has God chosen me? But don't dwell on it for too long. Remember, God is the one with all wisdom and understanding, and he's the one that chose you. So you've got the capability. The hard bit is living up to it. So we've been called to God's family. Let's look now at a reference in Romans, and it's Romans 11. Just a few verses there. Romans 11, and reading from verse 22. And you know this passage, and I'm only going to read some of it, but it's all about natural and spiritual Israel, about being grafted in. And this is something that we should think about. Consider therefore, verse 22 of Romans 11, the kindness and sternness of God. Sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise you also will be cut off. And if they do not persist in unbelief, they will be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. After all, if you were cut out of an olive tree that is wild by nature, and contrary to nature were grafted into a cultivated olive tree, how much more readily will these, the natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? Now that's a wonderful passage there, and it talks about our calling and it talks about us being related to that great family of God. And it also talks about the natural and those that are wild. But more importantly, it talks about the love of God to all those who seek him, whether they are natural Israel or not. We call ourselves today, don't we? We call ourselves Christadelphians, brethren and sisters of Christ. The meaning of that name, of course, has far more significance than the name itself. Brethren and sisters of Christ. It's also got contained within it, using this original word for brother and sister, Adelphos and Adelphi, that idea of Philadelphia, meaning brotherly love. And this is where we move into responsibilities as brothers and sisters, or how a good family works together. It's interesting, you know, in this life, we can learn, and we do learn, how a family can work together and how a family can fall apart. And I don't have very far to go to look at that, and I'm sure you don't. Much easier, isn't it, to fall apart than it is to all work together. And yet, the essence of our life in the truth is to work together now. And the way that we do that will reflect on our responsibilities to our Father and should reflect on his love for us. Because we didn't choose to join this family. God chose us first. We did have a choice, but it was his choice first. So let's look now at a few references, because the word of Scripture is far more powerful than anything I could say. Romans 12 first, and reading from verse 9. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil, cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. There it is, Philadelphia. Honour one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Just going to stop there. Very easy words to read. Very hard words to put into practice. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. That's just not acknowledging each other. That's not bumping into each other every now and again. That's not one phone call a month. That's being involved, being aware. And that's in normal life. But we can't keep out the spiritual life. Keep your spiritual fervour serving the Lord, because that's what unites us. And somebody who is keen and enthusiastic rubs off on those that are around. And we can't rely on somebody else to be keen and enthusiastic all the time, because we all have highs and lows. So it's all about working together, isn't it? Blending together. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 9. Wouldn't it be lovely if we had these words said about us? Now about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you. For you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. So even the Thessalonians, who got it right and knew what they should be doing, could do a bit more. Sounds a little bit like a school report, doesn't it? Could do more. You know, there's nothing more frustrating than dealing with somebody who is capable but not actually using their capabilities. I'm sure we've all had it, we've all come across it. We make allowances for people's deficits and say, well, they're not actually up to that. But when you've got somebody that is very capable and doesn't do, it's really frustrating. We understand that, don't we? Now just think for a minute. Who called us? Who says we're capable? God. And if we're not living up to that capability, how frustrated are we going to make him be? There's something to think about, isn't it? Letter to the Hebrews, chapter 13. Keep on loving each other as brothers. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those in prison as if you were their fellow prisoners, and those who are ill-treated as if you yourselves were suffering. Excuse me. Verse 5. Keep your lives free from the love of money. Be content with what you have. Because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, if the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Do we say with confidence those words? We should do. We should realise that God is our helper and that we can turn to him because he's more than our helper. He's our Father. Peter's second epistle, chapter 1. And reading from the third verse. Second epistle of Peter, chapter 1. And reading from verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him, who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature and escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. To goodness, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. There it is. And to brotherly kindness, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Did you notice in those verses, it's a progression. It's an adding to. It's starting with a strong foundation and then building on it. Not just leaving it there. Not dwelling on our laurels. Not thinking, well, I've done my bit. No, it's a building up. Just as those in Thessalonica had got it right about brotherly love, they knew what they should do. Then they could do a bit more because they knew what to do. They were doing the right things. And here we have in these verses, building it up. If you possess these qualities in increasing measure, building onto it is what it's all about. Not just individually, but collectively. For meeting together as a united family, we can build each other up. We know this, don't we? First letter of Peter, chapter 3. Reading from verse 8. Finally, all of you, live in harmony with one another. Be sympathetic. That's interesting, isn't it? Sympathetic. Sympathy. Understanding each other, working together. Love as brothers. Be compassionate and humble. Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. How can you inherit a blessing if you don't know what a blessing is or how to do it? 4. Whoever would love life and see good days must keep his tongue from evil, his lips from deceitful speech. He must turn from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. Let's stop there a minute. It's all about action, isn't it? We have to be active as brothers and sisters working together. We have to be active ourselves. turning from evil. It's there. The promptings are there. The tongue that goes to evil, the lips from deceitful speech. It's there. It's in our makeup. It's in our genes. We are natural men. But if we're active, if we're moving, if we're associating with our family of fellow believers, it's going to be much easier to progress. Verse 12. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is set against those who do evil. Who is going to harm you if you're eager to do good? And even if you should suffer what is right, you are blessed. Do not fear what they fear. Do not be frightened. But in your heart, set apart Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behaviour in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. That's a tough thing to do, isn't it? To always speak about the hope we have, the reason that we are here this morning, the reason that we worship the Lord and we worship his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and think about his great sacrifice on a weekly basis. Not once a year, not once every now and again, but on a weekly basis. We do it to remind ourselves of our calling. We do it to remind ourselves of the love of God. And we do it to assure ourselves that we are his brothers and sisters and that we can be saved in his mercy. You know, working together as brethren and sisters, we know is not easy. And yet we have to, because if we can't work together now, how can we hope to work together in the future? Because that's what we're going to be doing. There's a lot of work to be done when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And then we will be all pulling together. Galatians 5, and reading from verse 22. Again, these are very well-known words. The fruit of the Spirit is love. Let me just stop there, and we read these words. I'm sure we've read our brother Colin Attridge's book on the subject. Remember, though, that it is fruit of the Spirit. And fruit only comes with tending and with work. It just doesn't happen. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. Our calling, my dear brethren and sisters, is absolutely marvellous. We should wonder at it all the time. But it is a joint calling and we can all work together. Philippians 3. And here's some words to build us up. Remember, we are united as a family because God has called us and because the Lord Jesus Christ has made our salvation possible. Therefore, even if the pressures of the world and this current life build on us, We should overcome. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same things to you again, and it is a safeguard for you. And then chapter 4, and reading from verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. This is all about working together for the right things. It's getting our way of life right so that it becomes normal, that our family life is what we want to be and how we want to be. Just remember that your knowledge of the truth, your knowledge of God's scriptures, won't be up for examination at the judgment. All your mistakes that you have been asked to God to forgive won't be up for judgment. The account we have says it's all about how you were living your life. Were you living up to the calling? A calling that came from God, who, despite all our problems, despite our weaknesses, called us in the first place because he says we have a capability. We're worth something. Have we lived up to that calling? Come, you are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. I was hungry, you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, you invited me in. I needed clothes and you clothed me. I was sick and you looked after me. I was in prison and you came to visit me. That's living life now in the right way as brethren and sisters, looking after each other, thinking about each other, so much so that it becomes normal course of life. We know that account. They said, when did we do this to you? Inasmuch as you did it for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did it for me. That's living life in the truth as brothers and sisters, isn't it? That same chapter carries a warning too. Not the condemnation of those who said, well, if we'd have seen it, we'd have done it. No, you weren't looking. You were blind. No, the condemnation comes in that parable of the talents. Because that's all about calling. That's all about capability. And at the end, the one who is condemned, it says, throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness. Worthless. If he'd not been capable, he wouldn't have been given responsibility. He just didn't do anything with his responsibility. He didn't live up to his capabilities. That's the warning. And what inspires us, what enables us to try and do more, to try and progress, is when we remember what has been done for us already. Romans 8, the reading from verse 28. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the likeness of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Those he predestined, he also called. Those he called, he also justified. Those he justified, he also glorified. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Paul writes, I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present or the future, or any powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's why we come here Sunday by Sunday to remember him, to remind ourselves of the great love of our Father who gave his only begotten Son, his only real Son, not adopted, not called, but his Son, who did no wrong, gave him up that we might have hope. Hebrews 4, reading from verse 14. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we profess. We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us therefore approach the throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. And finally, from Hebrews 10. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body, since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And back to our theme of brotherly love and brothers and sisters, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching.
Let us now sing hymn number 69, Beyond where Kedron's waters flow, behold the suffering Saviour go to sad Gethsemane. His countenance is all divine, yet grief appears in every line. Hymn 69. And so we now bring to a conclusion our memorial meeting today. First of all, with the singing of hymn 153, after which Brother Chris Farnworth will close our meeting with prayer. Father, we thy children bless thee, for thy love on us bestowed. As our Father, we address thee, called to be the sons of God. Wondrous was thy love in giving Jesus for our sins to die. Wondrous was his grace in yielding to the great behest from high. Hymn 153.